Heart's still beating.
Good to be back. Good to see everyone. I've gotten old enough now, I need a lot of props to keep propping me up to get me going. Anybody see that? I got this through the mail. I think Sister Gloria Devane sent it to me because I did a little complaining up here about seeing and the light not being good enough. So several of you gave me several different things, and all of them are nice. And I've tried some of them, but now see what this one will do. It'll shine right down here if I can get it right. I may need to adjust that just a little bit. Huh? I'm not wearing a necklace, I'm wearing lights. Let's see if that's brighter, I believe, when I mashed it the second time. All right, try it again. That's dimmer. Anybody tell any difference? That's brighter, I believe, right there. That's where we're going to leave it for now. I do appreciate folks caring about me like that. We did go to the granddaughter's wedding up in Pennsylvania, and that took a while, but then as you've been praying for Sister Parsons, you know that she had the accident, so Brother Parsons had an appointment up there. So he called me on the phone, said, "Can you cover that while you're up there for me?" So we did, and that was an honor to do that. But then the camp we went to, some of our staff and kids were up there. They started passing around a youthful disease called whooping cough. I thought, I will never have to have that again. I remember that as a kid. But I got a good dose of it. I got home on Friday night from the airport, and I thought, I'm okay. Saturday morning, went to bus breakfast. Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I started coughing. And I cough, and I may cough at you this morning. I think it's pretty well finished. Pray for my wife. I think she's beginning to pick it up naturally. Just the way things work, amen? But good to be back. I know everybody's gone here for the summer and all that. Brother Morgan, you want to tell the folks who you got visiting right here? Amen. Yeah. Well, I told him I got to go to Romania one time when Brother Morgan was up there, but I didn't want to go back. He let it snow too much. All joking aside, it was a grand experience, and we're glad to have them visiting with us this morning. Open your Bibles to John chapter 12. I'm not sure who all covered for me while I was gone or what they taught, but I'm just going to take off on the passage here like it's right where I left it. Bible hadn't changed since I left, amen? John chapter 12, and I do hope I don't start coughing at you. Not only did I have the light up here, but I had a bottle of water. I used to see preachers do that through the years, and I never had to do it. Now I want all the help I can get. That's the kind of things have changed a little bit. We'll review a little bit and then jump right in, and I'm going to be honest with you, this is a bigger subject. Bigger can of worms I'll open up this morning than I can cover today. So we're not in any hurry to get through the book. We just want to get the information as we come across it. And John chapter 12, Jesus now has begun to talk here that his hour is about come. In other words, he knows why he came, what he's got to do. It's been before him all the time. His disciples have not really yet picked up on it that much. No matter how many times he told them, one of the most disappointing things as a pastor is sometimes you can tell the same people over and over and over, and then you'll see that didn't get it. They didn't understand it. That's the old weakness of the flesh that we all have. And Jesus has told them that, but now he says, my hour is come. And then he said in verse 27, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Then he says, Father, glorify thy name. So we left off here where the voice from heaven came. We talked about that's going to be a lot like the rapture. When the rapture takes place, some folks are going to think they heard something, but they're not going to see and know like the believer. When the believer is taken out of the midst of the unbelievers, some may say something happened. I saw a flash of light or I heard a sound, but they're really not going to understand about the rapture. Now, some have been to church enough, and I've heard this as a pastor through the years. I'll wait till some of y'all are gone, and then I'll believe. And I've simply said it'll be too late then. Be too late then. The Bible tells that after the rapture takes place, there'll be a time that even God will allow a strong delusion. Paul told the church at Thessalonica this, a strong delusion to come to deceive them that believe not the truth. What is the truth we're preaching now? We're preaching Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. You need to be saved. You need to be born again now. You need to be ready. But for those that hear that and keep rejecting it, well, I'll wait until it happens. Then I will. No, God says he'll even send you a delusion to keep you from believing still the truth. In fact, the world has a counterfeit ready, and the world will be deceived about that. I don't want to park on that very long. I want to move on to a bigger subject, really, right here. I want to pick it up in verse 31 of John chapter 12. And the Lord is saying this. The Lord Jesus is saying this. Now is the judgment of this world. He's talking ahead about the crucifixion now. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Of course, lifted up on the cross, we understand that. But I'm going to spend a lot of time tracing some scripture, perhaps, all on verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. You know, you can look at the crucifixion of Christ being betrayed by Judas, being falsely accused of blasphemy by the elders and the priests, the Caiaphas and others of Israel. And it can look like the crucifixion is a defeat, but it was not a defeat for Jesus. Understand this, it was a defeat for the devil. Now, I used to think right after I got saved, begin to hear the gospel and begin to understand the Bible a little bit, how come the devil was so dumb to do what he done that allowed Christ to have the great victory? The truth was, the devil was dumb to this. He did make a mistake. I'm going to ask you to go with me, and you go to your scripture too, because I don't have it marked. Go to 1 Corinthians with me. We're going to go to chapter 2 of the book of 1 Corinthians, and take your time and get on over there with me. We're going to pick it up in about 7 or 8. Verse 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We understand God knew some things that he didn't share with everybody, had a wisdom that was hidden. Now look at it in verse 4, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Understand what I'm saying? Not only do we look at the princes of this world in the sense of the men that hold office, like Caiaphas the high priest and the Sanhedrin of Israel and all that, that was saying away with him, crucify him. But this verse is telling us that the leaders of the world didn't know it. Now we got to understand something, because we're going to be dealing here with his majesty, so to speak, the devil, as we go into back to John chapter 12. He's called here by Jesus the prince of this world. Now folks, little book of Jude tells us that Moses didn't even bring railing accusation against the devil when he was arguing about the body of Moses. I've heard preachers say this. I've done it myself. Sometimes we've joked a little more than we should have about the devil. We got to be careful. We better have some respect for his power. We better not cross the line that God has drawn, and it's easy to do that. He's called a prince here. Do you understand that Jesus is called in the book of Daniel, I think maybe chapter 8, the prince of princes? But do you understand the Antichrist is also in the book of Daniel called a prince? Do you understand that Jesus is the prince of princes, but the Satan is called a prince here? He's called the prince of the world. When he is the Antichrist, he'll have that kind of authority. He will have that kind of elevation in the eyes of the world, and he will be considered royalty or a prince. Now, God has not given us a total structure that we can understand about the unseen world, so to speak. We're told, and I could turn to these scriptures, but it'll take so long. I hope you know the reference, maybe can recognize it at least when you hear it, of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness in high places." That's the world we don't see. I've sometimes called it the underworld or the other world. But it's a power structure that's very real. It operates on the laws of God that he has established. And I don't understand them all, but I tell you what, we'd be very wise as believers to be very careful of thinking we can stand toe-to-toe and do battle with the devil. We cannot. He is much stronger, much wiser than we are. We find that in the book of Jude, it says that Moses didn't even bring a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." We have to be careful. I've seen guys on TV act like they could tell the devil what to do and make him do it. You're on dangerous ground there, friend. You don't have the authority. You don't have the foundation to order Satan to do anything except through the name of Jesus and through the shed blood of Jesus. And if you think you've got some power over him, you're fixing to be in for some real trouble. We have to be very careful about that. So in the hierarchy of the sons of God, you find in the book of Job, you read the first two chapters of the book of Job, you'll read where the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan came amongst them. Then what does that tell you about Satan? He's a son of God too. Not the same as the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the only begotten Son. John 3:16, the only begotten Son of God. Satan is a son by creation. Later on, you'll find where God asked Job, "Where were you when the morning stars sang together?" Somebody says Satan couldn't have been one of the morning stars. He was before he fell. He was in that crowd. I'm going to scatter this around, maybe tie the pieces together later. Go to the book of Ezekiel, a little bit harder maybe to find. Go back to the book of Ezekiel. And if you hit Jeremiah, go to the right, you'll pick up Ezekiel. Pick it up in chapter 28. We had the time, and I would encourage you, study chapter 28 of the book of Ezekiel. You'll learn something about Satan and his beginning and something about him. And it's, you say, "Why is it important to know?" Because you're in a warfare with him. And you better understand he is your enemy. Not too many years ago, there was a comedian on TV. Everybody enjoyed him. He made you laugh. Best I remember, I think his name was Flip Wilson. He had a theme everybody picked up: "The devil made me do it." Remember that? "The devil made me do it." Let me tell you something, that's a lie. Listen to me. The devil don't make you do anything. The devil makes it possible for you to do wrong, but he don't have the power to make you do it. You make a choice. Got God on one side asking you to do right. You got the devil on the other side asking you to do wrong. You're in the middle, but you got a choice. The devil makes it possible for you to do wrong. He'll get on the wrong side and he'll argue and he'll make it seem right and seem like a good thing for you to do. That's the best thing for you to do. But the truth of the matter is, it's still your decision when you do it. And the consequences will still be. Bible says in Romans 14:12, so then every one of us shall answer of who? Not my neighbor, myself. 14:12, answer for myself unto God. And Satan, though, makes the door open for you to step through his door, go down his road, do his bidding. God's also got an open door that you can go through and a road you can follow, and you can make decisions on what you know God wants you to do. You can also give in, surrender to the flesh, which is on the devil's side. It's been on his side ever since Eve fell in the garden. I'm not going to open up too many cans of worms here, I hope, on this, but everybody wanting to blame the devil for everything. He is the one that brought the fall in the garden. We understand that. Wanted to deceive the first Adam. He deceived the first Adam's wife, Eve. But the second Adam came. He tried to tempt Jesus as the second Adam, but Jesus didn't fall. He was not tempted. He did not fall. But the Satan, when he came to Jesus and told him, you remember the story, what, Luke chapter 4 there, Matthew, where he said, he was out there, Jesus was fasting and hungry, and the devil came and said, turn these stones into bread. Remember the story? You remember what Jesus did? He quoted the word of God to him. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And Satan tried to get him to do something right that one day he will do, which is take over the kingdoms of the world. He said, I'll give you the kingdoms now if you just fall down and worship me. You know what that meant? It meant Satan had the authority to give him those kingdoms. Had Jesus fell, he would have taken the kingdoms. You read the book of Revelation, finally in the end, where the kingdom of this world become the kingdoms of God in his Christ. He was trying to get Jesus to do something wrong. It was the right thing at the wrong time. I see young people that do a lot of right things, but they do them at the wrong time. I've seen young folks start to committing sex. Ultimately, that's a gift of God. Marriage is of God. But if you do it at the wrong time, the devil gets the victory over it. That's what I'm saying to you. The devil makes it possible for us to do wrong, but he cannot make us do wrong. And we ought to be careful we don't, like Flip Wilson said, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He opened the door. I made a choice where I went God's way or the devil's way. It's easy enough to let the flesh win over. Eve let the flesh win in the garden. She saw the fruit of the forbidden tree. It looked good to the eye. It tasted good. It had all the things that appealed to the flesh. And of course, that's where we got into trouble. Little funny thing, I heard a fellow say one time, or a lady said to him, she said, you blame everything on us women. He said, well, if it hadn't been for you women, said, we'd still be in the garden, not having to work, and just eating of the tree of life. Well, it might have been a little bit of truth to that, but we're all responsible for ourselves. Amen. And Satan, though, is our adversary. He is that principality that we have to be careful about. Now, go back to Ezekiel 28. I never did read. Pick it up with me in verse 13. Verse 13 here. Satan is being addressed, but here's what I want you to understand. When you start in verse 1, verse 2, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, son of man, say unto the prince, word prince again, of Tyrus. Now, who is this? This was an earthly king, earthly prince, a political ruler, and yet God is talking to Tyrus as though he was talking eyeball to eyeball with Satan. Why? Because he is. Here's something that's hard for us to understand today, and I hope I don't let the clock run out on me on this, but the rulers of this world have to be careful that they do not let the devil be in them and get them to do wrong. He rules the nations in the world. The book of Revelation says he deceives the nations. And great deceptions that goes on in the world. Did you ever watch the news and wonder how in the world the leaders could be so dumb? do this and do that. That's so wrong, so much against the Bible, so much against morals, so much against what's right. Because the devil is influencing them and he is using them. So Tyrus here is full of the devil, and God addresses the devil in him. Now he begins to talk about Satan, which certainly does not fit this human man named Tyrus here. I don't know hardly where to jump in. There's so much of it. Get down to verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, Garden of Eden. Now, we know Tyrus hadn't been there. So who was in the Garden of Eden? The devil that's in Tyrus. That's who was in the Garden of Eden. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Talking about Satan in the beginning now. Precious stone thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, and the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship. Now watch this one. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So he was created. The devil is a created being. Therefore, he was a created son when the sons of God came before the Lord in Job 1. But now watch this part. We're talking about human, what we would think of as a human body, but this is Satan's body now. When he was created, he had tablets and he had pipes. Do you understand why folks think he might have been the choir leader? He had to do with music. Amen. Spurgeon, the old-time preacher that was so famous, said when Satan fell out of heaven, he fell in the choir. Might have been some truth to that. He led the heavenly music. Job was asked, where were you when the morning stars sang together? Now, new versions of the Bible will change these two words right here, but I want you to understand the truth. That is that Satan uses music. In fact, I think it was old Bob Jones Sr. said that every bad thing on earth is a good thing that's been twisted. And if there's ever been anything been twisted on earth, it's music. Music can take you and sit you in heavenly places. You can just feel the Spirit of God. But it also is played in the devil's platform, the devil's crowd. And Ephesians chapter 2, talking about the devil being called a prince. Ephesians chapter 2, probably about verse 2, says he's the prince and power of the air. There's the word prince again. Prince and power of the air. Do you know right now, I don't have a cell phone on me. I'm scared to bring one in church. I would sure not want it to ring. But if I had one, I could turn it on and pick stuff out of the air right here. Right? It's in the air. It's there. Just got to have the right instrument to pick it up. The devil has to do very much using it today. What's going out over the airwaves. We say online, and now we're talking about artificial intelligence and all of that business. An old-time preacher I know years ago said the devil got into electricity. That's why the PA in church always gave trouble. I said, amen. Has to be. I've seen some very wild stuff and couldn't explain it. I could tell you some stories, but I'd take time away from this. Truth is, he's the prince and power of the air. I'm not going to open this can of worms up too much, but we'll read right here in John chapter 12, where it says that Satan's going to be cast out. We were looking in what? Verse 12, I'll get it right here in a minute. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. There's five times, if you read the scripture close, you'll find out where Satan is cast out. Cast out. I'm not going to run the references, but it'll start with him being cast out of heaven. You read Isaiah chapter 14. We're reading Ezekiel 28 here. You'll read where he's cast out. He wanted to set his throne above the throne of God. But he's cast out four other times. The fifth time, final time, when he's cast out is in the book of Revelation. And he's cast out of the earth into the lake of fire. Right now, Satan has authority, and when we're talking about him being cast out, not just from the height of a geographical location, but we're talking about him going down in authority. Every time that God casts him out, he loses, as it were, another step down from the heaven where he wanted to put his throne above God. We read even where Jesus said, when the disciples came back to him rejoicing that they had power over the demons when he sent them out two by two, what we call soul winning today. Jesus said, be more excited about your names written in heaven. And they were talking about seeing the demons cast out by the power that Jesus gave them. He said, I have seen Satan like lightning fall from heaven. Lightning fall from heaven. Have you ever watched the lightning in a bad storm? Best to watch it from a safe place, right? But Satan has lost power. He has lost authority. He'll lose that final authority to where finally he will not any longer be able to rule on earth. He'll rule for a while under the man we call the Antichrist, who will be the counterpart of Judas Iscariot. But the wonderful truth is there's finally going to be a day he loses his authority on earth. He hadn't lost it yet. He's still the roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. He's very real. The biggest weapon Satan has against you and I is for you and I not to believe he's real. So we give him space. We give him ground to work in our lives, because we just say, well, we joke about the devil made me do it. No, the truth is he's more powerful against you. He's an enemy that does not sleep. I've seen this in the ministry. Preachers can tell you. Missionaries can tell you. A lot of folks will have a real battle with the devil, maybe a church, maybe the ministry. It's a real battle. And finally you say, well, God gave the victory, so it's over. It's not over, because the devil's not dead yet. The devil's not cast into hell yet. He is not going to quit. You may struggle with him, but you'll keep struggling with him. He don't want you to know that. He is very real. It is a force that you will have to deal with. There's no doubt about it. Now we come back to Ezekiel 28, and we find how he was created here. He was the top of God's creation here. Now, we don't fully understand. We've got some hints at what made him fall. We know his pride. He wanted to get above God. We know that. And pride is still a very sinful thing that pulls so many people down today. But now everybody says, well, he's a fallen angel. No, he's not a fallen angel. Look at verse 14 in Ezekiel 28. Thou art that anointed cherub that covereth. I can't open up the scripture to you on it for time's sake, but you'll find he was the fifth cherub over the throne of God, and he fell, and that cherub was the one that had a face like an ox. You ever wonder why you see cartoon pictures of the devil looking like a face of an ox? You ever see cartoon pictures? And the devil does not appear this way to us. He appears to you and I as an angel of light. But the cartoonist drew a picture, which in the old days was considered a little more scripture. The devil had a cloven hoof like a cow. He had a bull-like face, and he had a tail that looked like an arrowhead on the end. Have you ever looked at a cow's tail? Got the water hair on the end of it. That's the cartoons, where the cartoons come from. Because he is a cherub. He was the fifth cherub, the bull over the throne of animal there. And he is the one that fell when he lifted up his pride to try to unseat God, as it were, or take God's place. So he's described in verse 14, thou art that anointed cherub, top cherub, that covereth, and I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. That's where he was. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Hope you're looking at that, women, and so much more in Ezekiel 28. You learn about the devil. says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, that's kind of pulling the cover off to look some deeper around the things of God, around the throne of God, around the beginning when sin entered. Sin did not enter the universe when Eve took of the forbidden fruit. Sin entered when Satan was in the transgression, when Satan tried to usurp his throne above God. That clock, I know it's up there. Oh, a couple of minutes. All kind of theories, and a lot of it you can tie with scripture that makes a little sense. Satan lost his rule on earth when God made Adam. God put Adam in the garden, and he took over the rule that Satan had at that time. Satan has hated man ever since. He's hated not only man, but he has directed his hating at a nation that came from the promise of God in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 that would produce the seed of the woman that would bruise the serpent's head. The serpent Satan used in the garden, and the truth is that the seed of the woman finally produced the Messiah seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's any one nation on earth that Satan hates above any other nation, it's Israel. And look what we're seeing today in the news. Isn't it amazing how Satan has mounted up the great attack that he has and through history? And by the way, I'm going to just drop this on you. Be careful. Today, there's a big crowd in America that's against Israel. Now listen, Israel's just flesh and blood right now fighting for the territory that God gave them. They have to be saved through Jesus like anybody else. The time will come, though. Right now, they're like the burning bush that Moses saw. It burns, but it's not consumed. It just keeps on going, keeps on going. But the day is coming when Jesus comes back. The Jews are going to recognize him as the Messiah. Only a remnant of them, only a remnant. Two-thirds of the Jews will be killed during that Antichrist reign. But they're going to finally recognize the Savior. And I can show you in the Bible where Jesus is going to say, it is my people. They're going to say that you are my Savior. And I'm going to say, it is my people. That time of conversion. So listen to me. I'm going to stay on the side Jesus picked. I'm going to be on his side when he comes back. You better be careful nowadays, because all the news and all the deception that's going on by the devil will have you on the wrong side of things before you know it. We are in a struggle with him. No doubt about it. I'll only move on this thought and quit. When he came to tempt Eve in the garden, you say, well, he came as a serpent. You see the picture of a serpent coiled around a tree and an apple. The apple's not the forbidden fruit, number one, according to the Bible. The serpent, before God cursed him, had legs. He was not coiled around a tree. He was walking around like a man. Oh, yeah. I challenge you this. You say, well, you're going to keep on to get some heresy. Well, let me give you some. Real quick, you look it up if you can. Satan represents a lot of things under his authority. If you look at the animal world out there, there's the animal world that we would think of, horses, cows, dogs, cats, whatever. There's also a reptile world out there. Satan had that under his authority. He appears to you and I as an angel of light. But you know how God sees him? God sees him in Revelation chapter 12 as a great red dragon. What is a dragon?